Welcome back to Two Guys, a movie and a podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name's Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care one way or another.
As always, my name's Malcolm, or you can call me Mac. Either way, it doesn't matter.
This week we're talking about Gran Torino. This is a history-making moment. I swore I would never watch a Clint Eastwood movie. Mac made me watch a Clint Eastwood movie, I think out of spite.
I did.
Because I wouldn't let him pick Dark Knight. That's fair. He's in for a treat next week. So let's go ahead and get on with this. This movie comes to us all the way from 2008. It has a runtime of 1 hour and 56 minutes. An IMDb rating of 8.1. That is out of roughly 669,000 ratings, and a Metacritic score of 72. That is out of 34 critics' reviews. The synopsis is as follows. Curmudgeonly Korean War vet Walt confronts his Hmong immigrant neighbors when the family's son tries to steal his beloved 1972 Gran Torino. This film stars Clint Eastwood, B. Vang, Ani Hur, and probably a bunch of other people. We'll leave it at that. Mostly just, she's just mostly need to know Clint Eastwood. I'm not entirely sure who B. Vang is and Ani Hur is. I'm sure I could go to IMDb and find it. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go to IMDb and find it. Also, just a warning. This episode is probably going to... It's probably going to have some pretty bad language in it. Probably going to end up sticking the explicit tag on this one, because racism is a very big part of this film. So, just so you know, if you're listening in the car with your kiddos, and you don't want them to hear the word zipperhead
or gook,
then turn us off now and come back later. All right. Top build cast. Here we go. Clint Eastwood is Walt Kowalski. Christopher Carley is Father Janovich. B. Vang is Tao. He's the young boy that Clint Eastwood kind of takes under his wing. He's the guy that tries to steal a car. And Ani Hur is Sue. And that is Tao's sister. Okay. All right. Oh. Problem solved. Mystery solved. Okay, let's go ahead and get into this. Mac, what are your general thoughts on this movie?
Coming out of the gate swinging.
Yeah.
10.
10? 10. Oh, okay. Wow, we're in for a treat. We're in for a treat.
This is going to be a good one. I don't know. I like the story of it. I mean, it's Clint Eastwood. What do you expect from him?
I don't know.
You wouldn't know.
No, clearly I wouldn't know.
He could play a priest in a different movie, and I'd see him and be like, wow, this guy's racist.
Before we go on, how many Clint Eastwood movies have you seen?
Like 3.
Okay, what movies are they?
Well, Gran Torino. Well,
obviously Gran Torino.
Torino. that new one, The Mule.
Okay.
Maybe it's only two.
Maybe it's only two? Okay, fair enough. Was he racist in The Mule? I know literally nothing about The Mule.
It was a good movie.
Okay.
But I doubt you'd think so.
I doubt it.
Yeah, it was pretty racist.
Okay.
But it was more towards Hispanics.
Okay.
But, I mean,
it's
just all around racist.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I thought it was a good plot storyline.
Okay.
I feel like the writing was good, the script, you know, dialogue, whichever you want to call it. Scenery is okay, I guess. I mean, I don't even know where it took place.
You know, I'm not entirely sure.
I can't remember.
I'm sure it probably mentioned it somewhere in the movie.
I'm sure. from the all of two movies that I've seen Clint Eastwood in, he's acted good. So I haven't seen any movies with the other two, with Tao and Sue.
Me neither.
That I can think of. But those are my general thoughts.
Okay.
I'll save the rest for later.
Good. Good. This is probably going to be a little bit of a short one, because most of my complaints are probably going to come in the spoiler section. First of all, I just want to say, everybody, I had never seen a Clint Eastwood movie. I think that's very common knowledge. As I mentioned earlier, I was planning on never seeing a Clint Eastwood movie. I was going to wear it like a badge of honor, but that's no longer the case. So I watched Gran Torino. And even though I didn't particularly care for it, I did find it to be somewhat inspiring, in that it inspired me to go watch Dirty Harry. So I watched two Clint Eastwood movies last week, and I loved one of them. And Gran Torino was not the one I loved. In fact, I hated Gran Torino so much that I'm throwing down a 1 out of 10. I despise this movie so much. So much. A 1. I will not watch this movie again. In fact, if I were to go to a friend's house and they were like, "Hey, Tyler, what's up?" I'd be like, "Eh, nothing." And they're like, I'm just sitting down to watch some Gran Torino. You got a couple of pizzas on the way. How'd you sit down and watch it with me? Eat some pie." I'd be like, "Gran Torino, huh?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, yeah." I'd be like, "No, that's okay."
Did you call this person before you came over?
No. I just showed up. I just popped in, and they were like, "Gonna watch some Gran Torino?" And I'm like, "Fuck off."
Wow.
Absolutely hated it. So much. And we're going to get into why I hated it. And it's not even because of, like, the racism that I hate it. like if you're, like, sitting there thinking, "Oh, Tyler, he just doesn't like movies about racism." That's not...
We haven't really done a lot of movies on racism.
No, we really haven't.
If any.
Kind of See You Yesterday. At racist cops.
But were they racist?
Yeah, they were racist.
They didn't say, like...
They were definitely racist.
Okay. I guess.
I also know, you're all probably thinking, Tyler just hates this out of spite. That's not true. I will happily defend my hatred of this movie.
But I can't say that because you like Dirty Harry. So, I mean, it can't be out of spite.
It starts out, looks nice. The lighting is awesome. Clint Eastwood is, I suppose, accurately textured in the way that he looks like an old catcher's mitt. The camera work is fine. The set pieces are okay, and it's a good-looking movie. I certainly won't knock it for how it's shot. It's shot expertly. Mm-hmm. I think it's horribly acted. I think the dialogue is terrible. I think everybody in this movie, you know how you watch a movie and everything sounds natural and it flows really nicely, and then you go to like a high school play or like a play by like some local yokels down at the opera house, and well, they're not terrible actors. They all talk in the same kind of way, and they talk loud, so that way they can get their voice heard throughout the entire audience. And while they're talking loud, that stops them from sounding natural. So everything sounds kind of like has this weird artificial fakeness to it. That's redundant. Artificial fakeness is redundant. But it just sounded like all the dialogue in this movie just sounded really stilted to me. It sounded like, there was just something about it. I didn't think it sounded natural the way anybody talked to anybody. Mine is maybe a few moments where Tao is like talking to Clint Eastwood on occasion, but those moments are so few and so far between. That's mostly my biggest problem. Well, you know what? I have so many problems. But again, most of them are for spoilers, because most of the problems are major plot points, and I don't want to give those away here. Not that there's like a lot of twists and turns to it. Mm-hmm. There's a few that you might otherwise feel would be better saved for your first viewing of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few parts in there that kind of were like, oh, I didn't know this is where this movie was going. And then it goes there. And then I'm like, ah, well, I'm glad Mac didn't spoil that for me like he did Elysium.
You told me to. Matt Damon dies.
I know. I haven't forgot. Oh. Okay. Most of my problems in the acting, I don't like the story. I don't think the story's all that good. I don't think it's really all that original myself. I will say this about, you know, we talked about this with Gone Baby Gone. We talked about this with See You Yesterday. Movies that wedge in the name of the movie in such a bad way just drive me nuts. And I get it. Just bear with me here, okay? Let me get through this before you...
I'm all ears.
Right? Because I see you, like, right now, you're like, well, he had a Gran Torino. That's why he's called Gran Torino. I get that. And sure, that makes sense. When they talk about the car, they're calling it the Gran Torino. I get that. When the movie is over, and this isn't a spoiler, when the movie is over, there is a song that plays, and it's like a 6 or 7 minute song. I listened to the entire song. And it is all this weird, like, narrative about the Gran Torino. And it starts out being sung by Clint Eastwood, who cannot sing.
He's like 90.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It sounds horrible. And it's all about, like, romanticizing this car. And how it's like the car makes your life worthwhile, and now it's like this symbol for everything else. And it just irked me so much. I absolutely hated it. Like,
it's a man.
Yeah, we're gonna, all right. Anyways, and I almost looked up the lyrics to the song so I could count the amount of times that the word Gran Torino is in this 8 minute song, like 6 or 7 minute song. But I did not.
I was going to look up how many racial slurs he said in the movie.
Yeah. So anyways, there you have it. The rest of my criticisms are coming in the form of the spoiler cast.
That was deep.
It's going to get deeper. It's going to get deeper and it's going to get angrier. Oh. I promise you. It's going to get deeper and get angrier. Oh, man. All right. So there you have it.
Can I have you cut that out?
What?
Can you cut that
out? No, I'm not. I'm going to turn it into my ringtone. Oh, God. Deeper and angrier. Jesus. Oh, man. So there you have it, everybody. I gave it a 1. Mac gives it a 10. We are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum this week. No questions about it. Okay. Can I talk about before we go? Should I talk about Dirty Harry? Just briefly. Would you like to know a little bit about Dirty Harry?
No. I mean, you can. You know, I'll never watch it.
Fair enough.
Unless it comes on Netflix, and you're like, gotta get it back.
I might because it was a good movie. You know what? We're gonna talk about. I'll talk a little bit about Dirty Harry here for quick, just for a minute. Okay. This episode's short as it is, I'm sure. And everyone's tired of listening to me complain about stuff. Maybe you would like to hear me talk about something I like for a change. So watch Dirty Harry. It took some effort to watch Dirty Harry because I spent like 30 minutes one day scanning barcodes from a couple of bottles of Dr. Pepper to get some Fandango Now credit, and I had to set up like Fandango accounts and some like other stuff, and then I had to get it on my TV. It was a whole ordeal. I was going to use that credit on The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then Bigfoot.
I remember you telling me.
I was so excited for it. But Netflix did not have Dirty Harry. And I didn't want to pay money to watch a movie. I already pay enough money to watch movies. That's what the price of Netflix and Hulu is for. Anyways, I used that money that I was going to watch, that I was going to spend on Sam Elliott, on Clint Eastwood. And I loved Dirty Harry. I'd say, is it probably like 7? Maybe an 8. It is definitely a product of its time. Like, I will not say that it ages particularly well, but it's a pretty cool story. It's got the Zodiac connection to it, which maybe is also part of the reason why I liked it. Because the killer like writes letters to, mm-hmm. it's even featured in the Zodiac, in the David Fincher Zodiac movie. They go to the theaters because it's based on Mark Ruffalo's character, kind of, Toski. You don't remember that part? They go to the movie theater, and Toski's like watching the movie, and
I didn't know that was Dirty Harry playing in the back.
Yes. Yep. Dirty Harry, because it was kind of like pseudo inspired by the Zodiac.
Well, I know. I've
right.
read, or when I was listening, I think it was, did they mention it in Monster Podcast?
They might have.
If not, I heard it somewhere else. But I remember that part. But
yeah.
I didn't know it was playing in the background.
Yeah. It was like, if it wasn't for the Zodiac connection, it might have been a little bit lower. And I don't know, like, at the time, and take a page out of Mac's book, I'm sure it was better for its in its time.
It was for its time.
Because, like I said, it doesn't age particularly well. But that's the Clint Eastwood that I would watch. He's a pretty badass guy. I mean, like, I watched it. I had a hard time taking some of it seriously. There is some really silly stuff in that movie. And, like, it's not even intentionally silly. Maybe it's intentionally silly. I don't think it was intentionally silly. Like, he gets caught, like, he's, like, chasing down a suspect, and he gets caught peeping in a window. And he sees, like, this weird, ugly couple about to have sex. And then he gets beat up in the alley. Because everyone thinks he's a peeping Tom. Look, like, the movie's from, like, the 70s, I think? I think it's 70s. 70s nudity in movies? Not attractive nudity. Oh. And there was some 70s nudity in it.
The 70s bush?
It just was not attractive. And it was kind of pointless, too. Like, there were a couple times where you saw naked people, and you're like, why are these people naked? Makes no sense. It was entertaining for the most part. And if you watch it, like, if you watch it thinking that you're going to watch, like, something kind of dumb, like Taken, that's good.
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
You thought that was dumb?
I thought it was very dumb. It's probably one of your... Look, I'm not down on Taken. I'm comparing it to a movie I like. I watch Taken. I don't take Taken seriously. Taken is not to be taken seriously. I mean, he shoots everybody for, like, even if they don't deserve it.
It's like John Wick. I love John Wick.
Like, spoilers for Taken in, like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Plus, that movie's old enough that I think the statute of limitations for spoilers has reached its peak.
When did it come out?
Probably about 10 years ago. Yeah. It's pretty old. Yeah. It's not like from the 70s, but it's old enough. Anyways, the fact that his daughter has been subjected to, like, probably some pretty brutal rape and torture and used in horrible ways and kidnapped overseas, and her best friend has been murdered. She gets to the airport at the end and she sees Liam Neeson and she's just so bubbly and happy. And then, and like, you get this weird flowery happy ending where, like, she finally gets her singing lessons and it's so wonderful. She should be pretty messed up. after all that stuff, she should be pretty messed up. It's not like coming home from like a vacation that's, you know, just gone a little bit wrong. It's coming home from a vacation that's gone like wrong in the absolute worst way possible.
Like hostile.
Yeah. I mean, she should be pretty messed up. She shouldn't be so happy-go-lucky. She shouldn't just be like bouncing off the plane like, hey, look, I'm alive. Yay. Should be something else. Plus, like I said, he shoots everybody for no, like, even if it doesn't make any sense. And he's all like, I'm going to tear the city down brick by brick.
You got to do what you got to do.
I just thought that in the case of John Wick, is not a believable story either. But I can suspend my disbelief that he is like part of this crazy secret society that's, you know, of assassins. Liam Neeson's just a retired CIA operative or something out to get his daughter.
John Wick is if Batman was real.
Yeah. Well, I won't argue anything about John Wick. Those movies, well, the first two, I haven't seen the third one.
I haven't seen the third one.
But those movies are phenomenal. They are grade A beef. I love those movies. But
those are great.
But anyways, so from John Wick back to Dirty Harry, and then we'll go back to Gran Torino. Yeah, Dirty Harry. It was an enjoyable movie, probably taken a little more seriously at the time. I compare it more to like an old-fashioned version of Taken, where he tries to talk a jumper off of a ledge. He gets in a crane bucket and it lifts him up. And he's talking to the jumper and he's like, yeah, can I have your ID? Because when you get down there and you're splattered all over the ground, it's going to be really hard to identify you. And the guy's like, don't try to talk me down. But he jumps anyways. But Clint Eastwood catches him. And the guy's like hanging like halfway in the bucket and halfway out of the bucket. And the guy's like struggling and fighting and trying to jump anyways and kill himself. Clint Eastwood flat out punches him in the face. And then pulls him like half, like further into the bucket and lowers him and saves the day. All the while, he's searching for the serial killer that's like sniping people from rooftops. Excellent. Excellent. Man, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Although, like I said, it did literally have like one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. Like, he's almost killed by Scorpio, which is the villain. Because Scorpio is, I mean, I suppose if you're not going to use Zodiac, Scorpio, I guess, is fine. But, like Scorpio, like, gets him down and is beating the crap out of him, and he's about to get away. Clint Eastwood, or Dirty Harry, takes a knife out and stabs him in his leg. And you see this horror, like, you hear this, like, terrible shriek. I bet you I can find a gif of it. I'll put it on Twitter. You hear this horrible shriek, and then it shows the guy from the back, and his head like kind of cocks up a little bit and turns towards the camera, and his face is making the worst face in the world. It's so bad. So bad. But all the cheesiness and outdatedness aside, I enjoyed it. Far more. Far more. Than Gran Torino. Typical.
This is just another week.
Oh, man.
There's nothing new going on here.
If you want to reach us, and you know you do because we are two cool cats, you can do that. You can find us on Instagram where we are at Two Guys and a Movie. You can find us on Twitter where we are at Two and a Movie. You can get us through the electronic mail where we are Two Guys and a Movie at Outlook.com. As always, you can hear us first on Anchor, where it is anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm/twoguysamovie and a podcast. You can find us on Facebook, where it doesn't get updated very often, and it's usually Instagram stuff, but feel free to go and like all you want there as well. That is facebook.com/twoguysamovie and a podcast. You can subscribe to us on a variety of platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, Radio Public. You get the idea. So we'll catch you next week. Also, before I go, I almost forgot, all those twos are spelled T-W-O. Don't use the number because we don't know what you'll find, and it's probably not as cool as us anyways. So with that, we will catch you next week when I go and, like, where I go balls to the wall complaining about...
Not my walls,
please. About Gran Torino, because, boy, I've got some stuff to say.